Welcome to the Hour of Truth again. They keep letting us back on. I don't know. I don't know what gives with them. But here we are. Thank you for joining us today. I have Philip Walthall on my right and way out on the left, playing left field, is James Dusler. Morning, James. Afternoon,
good morning, Paul.
Afternoon, James. Well, it sneaks up on us. Sneaks up on us, doesn't it? It is afternoon in the Eastern time zone. So, I kind of gathered that Steve was against Pride. And we are eat up with it. And I don't know. It does seem desperate at times, our situation. And it should, because it is desperate apart from Jesus Christ. So it does stun and amaze the number of ways that pride manifests itself. But yes, I like that word. That's a good word, Joan. I like that word.
I have no idea what that word means.
Surreptitious.
Surreptitious.
Yeah. That's a good word. That's a 25-cent word there, man. That's a good one.
Surreptitious. Think of like maple syrup.
No, it's not. It's not. Not something you put maple syrup on. It is the fundamental source of the fall of man.
She types in there sneaky after that word, you know, and when comes the scripture comes to mind, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh.
Uh-huh.
And you sit there, I mean, I don't know if you've, I'm sure you have, and many others have, it's just like, this is what I'm saying is coming out of my heart. And when you listen to Steve and Steve's sermons, the examples, that's pride. That's pride.
Yes.
That's pride. You just go, oh, my goodness. You know, or there is no goodness. There is no my goodness. But, oh, my God, what am I to do? Because I hear those things coming out all the time. And that means it's just that it, hearts ate up with it. Ate up with it.
Yeah.
And what can you say?
You just throw up your hands and go, yep, he caught me again.
Absolutely.
It is. Yes. That's one of the best words I've seen put into the chat. That's a high class word. I was impressed.
I never seen it before in my life.
I know. So, you know, you go to Philippians, and our example, as I go hunting for it, and what does it say here? It says, as my arm gets caught up in the headphone wire. If there be, therefore, 2:1 of Philippians, as my glasses and headphones are rattling on the microphone. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded. 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 Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And what was Corinthians says, that you all speak the same things. That, you know, and ideally, what things are you speaking? You're speaking the Lord's things, right? Why is it important for us to be about His business? I'll get to that. But Jesus, who is our example here, is described by Paul here in Philippians, being of one accord, one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. The lowliness of mind is what? The opposite of pride.
Well, and you're, it's a lot like when reading in, where was Steve at, Peter?
So mm-hmm.
Honor all men.
Yeah.
And when you can honor all men is when you know that you're so deprived, you're face down in the mud, and the only chance and hope you have is Jesus, and you look up, and everybody's better than you. And that's where a place where you can honor all men. And that lowliness of mind right there, it sounds very similar to the, it's called humility.
Look, not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. They have better stuff than us, too. It's like, you know, they're not only better than I am, their stuff is better than my stuff. Their stuff is better than I am, you know. And that's... Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, what kind of mind was in Christ Jesus? Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He kept running afoul of the Pharisees by that proclamation that he and God were one. He and the Father are one.
Well, you go back up before when he says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You know, I look at this, look at his... Before that, he says, let each esteem better than themselves. It's a place of loving God, loving one another. You're not looking on your own things. You're not looking on your own... You're not looking at God.
At your own.
You're looking at others. Benefit, what be blessing to others, how you can serve others.
Pride, you can build yourself up in pride.
Yeah. And it's what this is serving others, whatever right. It might be lacking in a physical thing, lacking in a spiritual thing, a confident word, a correctional word, whatever the case, but it is looking out for them, their soul.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what four was is saying there.
Yeah.
And you recognize, and you can do that, and you can do that with love and compassion, recognizing how utterly deprived you are, and how much you need it.
I figured you'd jump on that.
Yeah, I seen you kind of skip over that a little bit, so I was like...
Because I purposely said what I said there, because I knew you'd jump on it. That was pretty good, too. You did it, because it really is take care of one another.
Absolutely. And whatever the need may be. And
which is not take care of number one.
Right.
Not take care of me first. It's take care of other people.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's exactly right.
You were also talking about, let this mind be in you, which was also Christ Jesus. All the things that we were just talking about, you said him being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And what was it that you said on this front? You said he spake those things, he only did the things what the Father told him to do, say those things that the Father told him to say. It was that one, that communion with him, that perfect communion. For his body, we are to be doing the same. Here, you go up to Jude. that up to two, fulfilling my joy, that you be like-minded. Be of the same mind.
Right. So, in other words, he wasn't stealing God's glory by his equality, by pronouncing his equality with him, but he made himself, he chose to make himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion as a man, he left his divinity up in heaven. He was a man.
And that's why where you see where Jesus says, "Why callest me good?" Mm-hmm. There's not one good. There's not any good but one, that is God. When he's talking to, I believe it was, you know, when they're saying, "Good master," and he says, "Why callest thou me good? There's only one good, that is God," and I'm messing that up. I don't know where that scripture's at. But that point is, when he was here on this earth, he was as man. He left that divinity, was what how you're describing. Yeah. That's why he could say that at that time. He left that divinity. He left that glory.
If he hadn't left that up there, nobody could have killed him.
Exactly. But he came down. Right. And that's why he could say, "Why callest thou me good?"
Yeah.
Because he was fully man. When we look at the faces that are the things that we face in situation, well, Jesus could face that because, you know, he was Jesus. He was the Son of God. But you understand, he was fully man. Like you and me standing there making that choice. Puts a whole new twist, and also puts a whole new accountability on our part.
Accountability is that because he did it, we can do it.
Right.
And that's, you know, that takes the butt out of the rebuttal. There's no butt in it anymore.
Doesn't work. Yeah, exactly. It takes that justification of why you couldn't out of it. And I remember Ricky preaching one time. I've said it many times before, and it's like, "God, you just don't understand." And mm-hmm. No, Philip, you don't understand. It's we that don't understand. He understands. I mean, it has in Scripture and in Hebrews, he's tempted just as we are, but yet without sin.
That's right. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. In other words, a criminal death.
Well, I mean, you even see where he takes Barabbas' place. I look at that as a sign for he took the place for all of us. We're all criminals.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we might not do it on the outside, we sure as heck do it in our hearts and our minds. And it's no different as far as God's sees. Remember how Jesus says, "Whoever there so looketh upon a woman and lusteth after her in his heart hath committed adultery." The same with being, you know, Timothy talks about being a manslayer. You don't have to actually be out there physically slaying men, but do you hate with a cruel hatred before? Tear them down with words? And what I mean, just bring them down around others to make them look like nothing? I mean, you're slaying them. You know, it's...
Well, there's a spirit and an attitude that is a attitude that that guy that cut me off just now. I would kill him in the snap of my fingers if I could.
Yeah.
And that is an attitude that so many of us carry and don't even realize that arrogance and pride and like she said, sneaky, surreptitious. It sneaks up on you and manifests itself. And if you let that thing go far enough, the abundance of the heart will tell it on it. It's like my mouth keeps speaking, and I can't shut it up. It's a real shame, but that's how we are.
You get, and you know, that part in being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and being obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The only one that didn't deserve it was him.
A thing that the thief observed.
I mean, Steve was talking about stuff wrong a little bit. This is kind of different. You talk about suffering wrong. The only one that didn't deserve it. How much more temptation? How much more we don't understand when we do something? We get persecuted, and it might not be, we get persecuted, and it's not our fault. But shoot, at some we deserve that death on the cross, not him. But he took it for us. He's the one that didn't deserve it.
Why is it so important? You're right. That's right.
How much more
we have
just, I mean, it, that suffering is. As I
don't have to grasp this meekness and humility that Jesus operated in, because it, while he was all that perfectly, when you listen to the way, when he goes and clears out the temple, the money changers, and where he takes on the Pharisees in John chapter 8, and you know, tells them that they're of their father the devil, and so we be in bondage to no man. where all these soldiers around here, that he is bold. And you think, well, gee, that's an opposite to the meekness and the humility. No, it's not. And, you know, when you understand that that's not him operating with a split personality, that is the way we're supposed to be. And because he could be that way, we have to be that way. Why is it important that so important that Jesus took the time to tell them, I am showing you this so that you can learn how to do this. Why is that so important? Well, let me just say that suppose you're fortunate enough that you're able to get into heaven. What do you think you're going to be spending eternity doing?
Serving him.
It's pretty good. It's a big, pretty good shot that you're going to be doing his thing and not yours. So you really want to be familiar with how that works, so you can stand in his presence.
Well, one of the things you're talking about is clearing the money changers and telling them the truth. That was loving them, bringing them to account. What pride wants to do? Pride doesn't want to make yourself the bad guy by telling somebody the truth, mm-hmm. or bring somebody to account. Or you don't want to be thought of evilly, or you don't want even the backlash of the repercussion of that. We get out a lot of times at work, it's like that. It's never fun. When it's not operating good, that's one that's not fun. But then to hold the people that are not operating the way they should be operating, that's even less fun. But if I love the Lord, and I love my boss and the customers and them, I'm going to do it. And that's not hate, that's love. But I tell you, it's not fun.
It's also loving them.
And it does take a humility to do that. I want to run away from that confrontation as fast as I can. But that wouldn't do anybody any good. Go ahead, James.
It's loving one another more than yourself by doing that, you know, and you hold people to account. If you don't, you're actually loving yourself more than you love them, because you don't want to hurt their feelings or people not like you.
Other thing is that bringing them to account, you're holding them to the, holding their feet to the fire, making them have to make a decision. And that's loving them. Jesus operated that way with the ruler. Says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And what does he tell him?
Go sell everything you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me.
That's right.
And he
went away sorrowful.
There was kind of a...
He brought a choice before him. Is he going to choose?
Part of the... Yeah, made a decision. And he exposed idolatry. Mm. He said, all this I've done since my youth. And that wasn't even true. So, you know, his many possessions were idolatry. And that's a shame. But if he had not been brought to account, then, you know, he got brought to a place where even he could see that he wasn't fit for the kingdom. Wasn't fit. I don't know what happened down the line, but we don't have any record of that. But, you know, the couple of people that we do have records of, like Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, they actually got it, and they received from the Lord. And it was a hard go for those of the Pharisees to receive that all the stuff that they'd been taught all their lives was worthless. Absolutely worthless. And now all that mattered was Jesus. And you've got to deal with Jesus Christ. And that takes away their power and their position and you know, everything that Paul had aspired to, he considered as dung, as worthless to him, for the higher prize of knowing Jesus Christ. That was the only thing that was worthwhile. What were you doing?
Blocking the mic. I'm yawning and stretching.
Oh, okay. I was just curious. It looked like you'd had a stroke or something.
Breathing heavily. That's one of them. But not no stroke over here. Thank God.
It's important that we take the cue from the stuff that Jesus says. There's some of the stuff that I never really considered all that much, and is not good not to have considered it. But I referenced John 13 in the service, but Peter says in 13:8, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Suddenly his tune changes. Lord, not only my feet, but also my whole body, my head, my hand, you know, everything. Let's immerse, full immersion here. Let's get it. Jesus said to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, had taken their garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done unto you? This was all instruction. This was the learning time here. He's in the classroom with these. You call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you as an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. I have given you an example. This is what I want you to do to each other. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. You want to be happy in the Lord, then you do what you see him doing and telling you, this is me, what I did for you as an example. Everything he did for us as an example. Because that's what we're supposed to be about doing. Is some of the things he did? No, he's supposed to be doing all the things he did. We knit together is supposed to be the body of Christ operating in his absence. And in order to do that, you have to look like you're doing the things he did. You go to 1 John. You say you abide in him, then you should also walk like he walked. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means doing what he did. Doing what he did. And that is, you know, sometimes that love manifests itself in the correction of the cleared out temple. But those people, the people needed to see that God's stamp of approval was not on what was taking place in that temple. That was surely the contrivance of a man and not that which was of God. You had unjust scales and unequal measures. They were cheating people under the guise of the stamp of approval of God because it was taking place in the temple. And he didn't let that stand. He held them to account. And I suspect it was a violent display. But then there's the in the same vein, and it's the same, it doesn't look like it, but you know, he also goes to raise Lazarus from the dead. He looked on, Martha? He looked on them with pity, and I mean, he was able to feel their hurt at the loss of Lazarus. And he loved them. He had, you know, he had empathy. And he knew they hurt. And it says, John says there, Jesus wept. But he also waited around long enough that everybody knew that this guy was dead. And he stunk. But just because he could tear up the temple doesn't mean that that's what he did to everybody. He ministered to everybody according to their need. And at this time, these people needed to see their faith at work. And their faith at work in Jesus. Jesus raised him from the dead, and he was deader than dead, stink dead. They seen his power. They seen it. They knew his love, and that carries the more weight when he holds people in the temple accountable and clears it out. When he holds the ruler to account and says exposes idolatry, it makes all the more powerful. But that whole broad spectrum. Is he ministered to people in their need. He knew their hearts. We can operate with that same discernment and wisdom operating in us. We should be. There's no but there. We should be. It's available to us. And if we're not operating in it, we need to confess that and ask him to to show us the things we need to see. It's available to us. Ask him for it. There is no excuse for not being able to do. His thing. And it's mightily important that we get that right. Say something, James.
Well, it just comes down to whether we really want to serve him. And if we want to serve him, we will choose to do what it takes, which is putting on the mind of Christ. And doing the things that he does and that we're called to do. It comes down to a choice. Do we want to serve ourselves or do we want to serve him?
We kind of tend to want to do things when it's convenient for us and on our own schedule. And that's our own agenda, though. It doesn't work that way.
Well, and I mean, you hit on putting on the mind of Christ and the service.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we have to do every day. Die to ourselves. You talk about the reset. Wake up and hit the reset button.
That's right.
You have to hit it 100 times, hit it 100 times that day.
That's right. I hit the snooze button, hit the reset.
It was interesting. I like Keith Green a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening on YouTube, you know, to a song of his Saturday morning. And it was the first recording, I believe, of him singing, "Oh Lord, You're Beautiful." And he said one thing before it. You know, he said, "I was up praying to the Lord, and I asked the Lord to cleanse my heart because it had become hard, and I wanted a soft heart." I think he said, like baby's skin. And he said, it wasn't from things I was doing. It was from a lot of things I wasn't doing. And that's really what it is. It hit me.
Mm-hmm.
Because we need to be doing the Lord's business.
And placing no value or import on our own stuff. That's what Paul's talking about in Philippians there. And what, you know, Steve was hitting on, and his things, like that lowliness of mind. That's not that says honor all men. Every honor all men as being better than you, as being worthy of that honor, whether they're worth it or not.
But you find when you're doing his thing, what's his agenda? It's love God, love one another. Mm-hmm. And when you're doing his thing, that's when it's going to be a service to the Lord, to others, and really to others. I mean, in serving him, it's just going to be ministering him to others. Mm-hmm. When that was Jesus' ministry. I mean, it's not like that, man, that...
Well,
it's not that he needs anything from us.
He was a minister 24/7. He was a minister, and that's all he did. He ministered.
No, I mean, that's all what we should be doing.
That's right.
It was a service that was for others.
Mm-hmm. He was always on call for the Father. As he was always in touch with the Father. And, you know, if you don't have clarity on what the Father wants you to do. It's like David said. It's like Phil just said. It's love God, love one another. And that covers a whole lot of stuff, but it's putting both God and others before you. It's simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. And that's an attitude adjustment, because that's not how we are.
It's not easy because we're self-centered, prideful,
right,
and we love ourselves. That's the reason why it's not easy.
Right.
It's really when you enter into that, your joy is full. And it...
Happy but, are you when you do these things?
But the truth of the matter is, the reason why it's not easy, it's not because it has to be hard. It's because we can make it hard because of how we are.
We are, absolutely.
And
something, it should be easier and easier as time goes on.
Something is going through my mind, and I don't know if it even relates. You were talking about walking as he walked. The other thing is that we are all members of his body.
Yeah.
You know, we're gonna speak the same things. We're gonna glorify him. However, we have different roles, and within the body.
Uh-huh.
You know, the heart pumps the blood. Since the hands and the fingers are moving all the time. The ears hearing, eyes are seeing. And it's coming together, and the other thing of operating as his body is coming together in that like-mindedness is coming together, and also that humbleness is what it takes for us to come together as his body. Because we have to give and receive from one another, which the Lord gives throughout his body.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing of humility.
Yeah, it's humbling to admit that you have a need for another part of the body to supply. Because, in pride, you just can't receive any of that good stuff. And,
you know, it's neat. I've been lifting up lifting up my family. Just on that note, I've been lifting up my family a lot as a unit, just as a unit, just my family. Been lifting up the rest of the ministry as well, but I do a lot. I don't have much time there, but I do a lot lifting my family up to the Lord and for us to get there as a unit for Him. And it's interesting, some of the things, just some of the things that have come together when we've been going about doing some of the projects that are at hand. And it's kind of neat that how Hope and I and the kids will operate in this sense. Or even Lisa was a big help this past week as well. About the projects that we hit, that we all came together to get a certain goal done. And each of us played a certain part or a certain role into getting that certain goal done. But if one of us was disjointed or discombobulated, that goal wouldn't say it wouldn't have got reached, but it wouldn't have got reached so quickly and easily, if that makes any sense. You know, the same, and I look at an example is, you know, I look at the workplace and I look at how things are done. Each individual has their job, has their positions, their duty to do. And when those guys are doing their duty, it's a neat thing how that thing operates. Smooth, smooth, smooth. But man, when they go about doing their own thing and their own agenda and their own way, oh my, it's a nightmare. It literally is chaos that has to, the whole group has to come together, and there's a readjustment that has to be informed and instilled. And sometimes that's not pretty. However, it's necessary and good. But it's just an example. If you're of His body, if we are His body, then doing that which the Lord has put in front of us, loving Him, loving one another, and as unto the Lord, hardly as unto the Lord, with that same mind, there's a unit that will go forward. Mm-hmm. If we don't, it's not. So whatever your role may be, whether it be whatever it may be in the body, it's all necessary and important. The guy that's very new at Gerald Sizen Brakes, him and going checking those air pressures out back, you think that, well, that's a stupid small job. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's very important. That keeps the experienced guys, when we got 20 cars on the board, to keep moving the floor. Keeps them on there, handling customers. And keeps those cars moving. Every single little thing is important. And you know, you hear, we talked about that perfect man, that second generation. I remember Davey bringing up the point in the meeting. He says, you know, if just one of them in that word fast that they did for 7 days had spoken a word, you know what? That would have never happened. And they would have blamed God, and they would have blamed Joshua. And you can see where that one family that took the spoils when they shouldn't have caused lives of thousands and thousands and thousands of Israelites. Because they became a cursed thing by one man's disobedience. So, the importance, it's serious business. It really is. If you're going to be truly part of His body.
Yeah, and you know, if you're not, it's going to be evident to those who are. And it's not something you can hide. Like you can hide out in a big church, and nobody ever holds you account.
Yeah, some of those guys think they can hide from me at work, too.
Yeah.
It don't work out. I got an instant radar.
All-knowing.
Not really. It's the Lord. It's just like, where's so-and-so? Good question.
he's never here when he's here. Well, you know, it's a shame to have spent all that time in these churches and never really considered the unity of purpose of Jesus in, you know, everything he did was, you know, the Father's business. And the things, to have spent that long in the churches and just to see him as doing things that didn't add up, like being loving and merciful and kind to the family around Lazarus, and being, you know, mean and stirring up the temple and jousting with the Pharisees, telling them they're sons of the devil.
And this is both love.
Yeah, but just kind of put that on a shelf and says, well, yeah, it's an apparent contradiction. It's not a contradiction. It's ministering according to their need.
Well, when you're trying...
It
should be an easy concept to grasp. It really should be. Because you, anybody that has children or seen children or had brothers and sisters or any of these things should understand. A correction is needed. And both is loving.
But, you know, and you sit there...
Or even have been a child, which... And grown up, you know, it's both loving. You know what? That's why I got in trouble. Because that was bad for me. They didn't want me to go down that road. That's why I was in trouble all the time for those things. Because they were trying to love me. Those things were going to kill me if I kept going down. And about damn near did.
Sitting here looking for... I think it says... You've heard... It said an eye for an eye. Ah, there you go. But I say unto you that... that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek... Turn to him... The other also. Now, is not that exactly what he did in when he was being passed between the high priest and Pilate
and Herod?
He kept. He's just saying, "You're going to have to kill me." Is essentially what he was saying. Because he didn't ever justify himself, he never defended himself. He essentially he was turning the other cheek, and he was not resisting that evil. The whole point is this is, you know, we're sitting here in the Beatitudes in Matthew. This is how he operated. And, you know, you clue into that. That's not just, he's not just putting this out there as a pie in the sky kind of thing, as a treatise on godly living and, you know, theoretical pie in the sky stuff. This is how you walked. And that that's not resisting the evil, but it is standing up to the evil. Because this is, you're going to have to do more to me than this. And expose yourself for how you really are. That's how he operated.
Well, and if they did, if he didn't operate like that, I mean, because what you saw when that, when he went to the end of the cross, what did they say? Oh, truly, when that earthquake, when that quake came, ripped the veil, that veil in two to the holiest of holies, and that darkness came over on, and he took the sin of the world, and it was evident before them. They said, truly, this was the Son of God. What they saw there, what they saw, and what we should see, and as we go and we repent, as we seen our sin on him, they seen their sin and how they laid it on that innocent man. Their own, every single one of them was consenting to murder him. An innocent man, and they traded Barabbas away for him. And what did they see? And because he resisted not evil and did that, they could see their own sin.
Right.
That their own evil which they've committed right in front of their face. But if he resisted that evil, they would have never saw it.
That's right.
And he wouldn't have taken the sin of them.
That's right. There's always a reason. This, you've heard it said. Well, how? Why have they heard it said? Well, I've heard it said because that's the way it's been taught, and it hasn't been taught rightly. And you know, I say unto you, and this is how I'm going to operate. He doesn't say that, but that's how he operated. And in every one of these cases, if you've heard it said, as. But I say unto you, it's a higher standard. It's a spiritual truth applied to work the will of the Father. And once again, we bring it back to that's what we're supposed to be about. And it's good for us because we need to be able to do His thing forever. This is training ground, and we need to get it right while we still got grace.
Yeah, and you know that being about us. I mean, what Jesus did when he resisted not evil, and that was a mirror unto them, their own sin. Are we willing to be that for others?
That's
good. What's going to bring people to the gospel? Are we willing to do that for others? I mean, because it was shortly after that, whom you slew, you got an axe.
That's the things you got to ponder. Because that's really the terms of loving God, loving one another. That's how it works.
And we're called, I mean, like you said, be about His thing up there, but also there's a war going on for Adam's soul seed up there.
Right.
Are you going to love somebody enough to give them that opportunity?
That's right.
See, when it comes down to it, it ain't about you.
That's right.
I think we've been talking a lot about that lately.
You know, Phil, that there was somebody that loved us enough.
Absolutely.
And we have no excuse not to do the same for others.
Absolutely. You go to Romans, that's to present your body as a living sacrifice.
None of us would be here had he or they not.
Hey, man, and it says your reasonable service, man, it should be our joy too. Somebody loved us enough.
But, you know, it also says, and I put that "but" in there. be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I was very tempted to say, you know, a couple times today while you were up there preaching what, and during the show.
Were you thinking here, like, you know, shut up and get
was,
down?
Was, oh, you're talking about brainwashing. Yes, you are. That's exactly right. The transforming of your mind. Your mind is dirty and evil and sinful and prideful.
I know. You didn't listen to Steve's sermon, Nick. You could shine a little light on that. It's like, that's pride.
How can
I can
read Psalm 51 without gathering that you need your mind cleansed, you need your heart cleansed, you need the seat of your will is evil. It's constantly to do evil, and if you don't get that thing cleansed, you're never going to be able to do the things of the Lord and see the things of the Lord and receive the things of the Lord. But praise God, that's what He does. And He'll do it for you. And He'll teach you how to do His thing.
Amen.
And you can be successful. And be that...
what you're called to be.
That person who's willing to love people enough to have them see.
What did David say a long time ago? God did not call you to fail.
That's right. You have everything you need. All right, that's going to wrap us up for another week here in the Hour of Truth. And Texas service coming up at the top of the hour. And Arizona after that. Say goodbye, guys.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
And may the Lord bless you.